Glasses because they can't see. Good morning. How are y'all doing? It is absolutely beautiful outside, isn't it? Kind of hot, sweaty yesterday, but we made it through. Good to see everybody here today. We're going to start with hymn number 467. And let's stand, please. 467.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou near, but temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thanks for those that showed up, Lord. Thank you for the good week, Lord. The daily provision, Lord, safety. Thank you for our nation, Lord. Be with it. Help our leaders, Lord, that they might see their folly, that they might be able to lead us, Lord, in the way that you would have us. Thank you for my church family, Lord, pastor and his wife, Lord, all that you give us. Today, Lord, we're just anticipating a little time in your word with John. Lord, guide him, direct him, make him strong, Lord, for what you have for us through him. Keep us, Lord. Help us as we study, Lord, that we might get something from today's message, Lord, we take home. Using our daily Christian lives, Lord. Thank you so much for my church family, Lord. Just seeing folks shaking hands, Lord, greeting each other. It just makes you feel good, Lord, to know that people care. We're here, Lord, to love each other. Appreciate that also, Lord. Guide and direct as we go into our service, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 68, please. Page 68.
praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, oh, worth his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song.
Thank you. Let's see. Evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll get something figured out. Pastor's got to be away. Women's Bible study, May 21st, Sharon Hunt's home at 6. Men's Bible study on the 25th. Personal evangelism the 28th. Deacon meeting this Thursday, the 23rd. Wilton Bible study is the 30th. We are going to have a baptismal here at the church in our evening service on the 26th. We have our ice cream social down here at the park on the 8th. Pastor Erickson is going to be here to speak on the 23rd. Thought for the week, a thought for graduates and everybody else. What do you plan to do with the rest of your life? And where does God fit in the picture? Guys, you come forward. We'll take up more and often.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, again, we have so many things, Lord, to be thankful for. Lord, help us not to take things for granted, to understand that all that we have and never will have, Lord, only comes from you. Just ask you to be with my pastor now as we're about to speak, and Lord, especially with us as we try to give a small portion back to you, Lord. Be with the gift and the giver now as we take this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a third song today. Oh, my goodness. 324, please. 324. Find it.
just to walk with him whose blood has ransomed me. It is rapture for my soul each day. It is joy divine to feel him near where'er my path may be. Bless the Lord, his glory all the way. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory just to walk with him. He will guide my steps aright through the veil and o'er the height. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory when the shadows fall to know that he is near. Oh, what joy to see him trust and pray. It is glory to abide in him. The skies above are clear. Yes, with him is glory all the way. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory just to walk with him. He will guide my steps aright through the veil and o'er the height. It is glory just to walk with him. 'Twill be glory when I walk with him on heaven's golden shore, never from his side again to stray. 'Twill be glory, wondrous glory, with the Savior evermore, everlasting glory all the way. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory just to walk with him. He will guide my steps aright through the veil and o'er the height. It is glory just to walk with him.
Thank you. My girls are going to sing.
We're singing a song called Hymn of Heaven. I think we've done this one time, maybe as a church or maybe as a special one other time.
Thank you. What a wonderful thing that is to contemplate this morning. I hope that all of us have considered heaven. You know, the Bible speaks of only two destinies. Thank you, Autumn. Heaven or hell. And so these are things that are important to us to consider. Okay, thank you. Seriously, though, take time. And yes, young people, you may go down. Take time, I pray today, to get alone, get out of the hubbub, the hecticity of life, and consider, where are you at today with the Lord Jesus Christ? And again, are you prepared to go to heaven? The Bible tells us that we can know, and that it will be a wonderful place. And as the girls mentioned there, I've sung that song before, but I'm trying to think of all the words. But, you know, in heaven, we're going to be saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All these things here on earth that we think are so important, they're important, but they're not as important as what we'll have in eternity with peace with the Lord Jesus Christ, and never to be affected and tainted by this broken and sinful world. Well, anyway, I welcome you on that basis, on the name of Jesus, to our morning service here at Fruitland. Trust, again, your heart today is ready to worship the Lord, to be challenged and fed on His Word as we worship together. I thank you that also we have a communication venue with the Lord, or with God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you that thank Him that He has afforded that way for us, that we can talk to our Creator, and that our Creator cares about us today and is willing, again, to be involved in a personal walk with each and every one of us. That's good news today. And by the way, how could you turn down a day like today? And yesterday, and even when it rains, or even when there's difficulties, God is showing us each and every day His faithfulness, and He's displaying His power, and inviting us again to make a decision, either for Him or against Him. And He wants it to be for Him. But today's another day that He's given us of His grace. I can't believe how good He is to us. And what a wonderful God He is. So we're going to take time today to do that in prayer. We'll take just a few moments again to pray silently as we start. The title of our message today is, Have You Heard the Sound of Hades Enlarging Herself? This will be found in the text of Isaiah chapter 5 this morning. I believe it's a warning from God that God gave to the prophet Isaiah to give to Israel. I believe it's a warning for all time when people get separated from God. And I believe we live in such a time as that today. You would understand today that probably the vast minority of people are all that are in the gathering of the churches today. Most of this world is not thinking one iota about the Lord, but they're thinking about themselves and, again, the things that Satan proffers to them. As we go to prayer, though, there are situations that we need to pray about. You know some individually. We know that Al Swanson is hospitalized today. He's gone through some struggles. Brenda's brother, Scott, has been informed again that he is battling with cancer. He's been through this before. Remember people that are struggling with health, but also that are struggling with spiritual health today, most especially. And don't forget our community that's right here. Many of them are our own relatives, friends. We have a big mission field, folks. We need to pray that the harvest would be accomplished with the workers that the Lord has given us. So again, many things that are going on. So shall we bow today and quiet our hearts for just a few moments here in prayer? We'll take just a few minutes of silent prayer, and then I'll finish with a pastoral prayer, and we'll begin our message. Oh God, our Father, we come today again assembled here as your church, the church of your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, here we are again by your grace and mercy. I ask today, Lord, for personal forgiveness, first of all, for my ineptitude, my lack of desire, my lack of giving you worthy praise and glory as I should, Lord. We think today of this world that you've created. We think again of the reminder we've all had this morning of this wonderful creation and a beautiful day that you've given us today. Lord, I pray it would steer our hearts towards you today, towards your throne. And Lord, I do pray for those in our world today that do not take you seriously, that do not have an interest or desire in you. But we know this, Lord, that you have proclaimed a desire to have a walk with us. And Lord, there is only two destinies that are mentioned in Scripture. I pray today there would not be one soul in this room that would not be destined for heaven. That way can be afforded to us today by faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his work for sinners on the cross of Calvary, and in his resurrection from the dead to new life. I pray today, Lord, for our neighbors, our friends, our community members, all those on the outside, those that are passing by today on the street. I pray today, Lord, that your Spirit would convict them, maybe through seeing the sign out here, or a word that we have given them, Lord, or just the creation itself today on a beautiful day, that it is not all about us, but it is all about you and what you've done for us. So, Lord, I pray to that end today. I pray today, Lord, as I want to praise your name again, and I've mentioned that, you are very much worthy of all of our honor and praise. And we do look forward to that day when we will be in your presence, never more buffeted by the sin and the brokenness of this world, but when we will truly recognize, Lord, with no diversions, that you are holy, 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 and we praise you, Lord God Almighty. Now today, Lord, as always, we have people that are afflicted. We know that we have Christine Ash up in Iowa City. We have Al Swanson today. We have Brenda's brother Scott that we know of that are afflicted, Lord, with certain illnesses and maladies. But Lord, there are many others too that are affected by the illness of sin. And we all struggle with that at times, Lord. I pray today, though, in your time and mercy and will, that you'd heal those that are sick and afflicted, but also, Lord, that we would take the healing that has been given for our sin, that is found once again in your benevolence toward mankind. Lord, you warned Israel many times. You warn us many times today. We fail to heed that warning. But Lord, one more time here today, we're going to hear it from Isaiah and what you told him. And Lord, I think we can draw many conclusions here from this text as to what is going on in our current world and in the lives of people. Lord, we know this, you're a God of grace and love, but you're also a God of wrath. You're angry with sin today, Lord. You don't hate the sinner, but you hate the sin. And Lord, may we get this figured out, that you have a righteous reason to be angry with sin, because it violates your very goodness and your righteousness. So thank you today, Lord, that you sacrificed yourself there on the cross for our sake, the righteous for the unrighteous, that we might be made the righteousness of God through you and your work. Lord, I pray again this message will hit home. I pray today, Lord, and I need your help to preach it effectively, that, Lord, we would not leave here the same. Lord, I acknowledge all the time I am weak, but you are strong. So I ask again for your Spirit's guidance and empowerment to bring this message. May there be a dynamic movement in the people today, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you join me this morning in Isaiah chapter 5, this will be the basis of our text today. And of course, we know that God called Isaiah at a time when Israel, along with some of his peers that were prophets as well at that time, because of God's great love for the nation of Israel. But as it would be, the people had no great love for their God, the God who had chosen them, and they had nominally walked away from him. They had followed, again, the paths that Satan laid out, the paths that seemed to be the right thing for men to do. I'm reminded many times of the verse in Proverbs 14:12 that says this, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And folks, I pray today in this room that, excuse me, none of us would be influenced by our own thoughts or the thoughts of man, but that we would sieve everything that we come into contact with through the thoughts of God that are found in his word. Excuse me. So friends in Christ, may the Lord be praised for his mercy, grace, and goodness that he has shed upon us abundantly. Amen. Thank you, Sharon. Hallelujah. Amen. It's about time we get excited about the Lord. Because I'll tell you what, we need to be excited about the Lord. We need to be excited for the day we're going to meet him. It could be today. I never take that lightly. It could be today for various reasons, but hallelujah, amen. This time of the year, we recognize traditionally those that have achieved a degree. Yeah, for many. We don't have a graduate in our congregation this year, but this is a day when the students in high school and in around this time, most are done already in secondary, post-secondary education, have received some kind of a recognition for an achievement level. But let me just say this, folks, there's a lot more to it than that. That's a good start. And we need to understand, though, that it's an important thing, but it is not the end of all things either. But I do congratulate them. Kim and I do have our oldest grandson that has graduated from high school. And we can't believe that, but it's the facts. And so we're going to go to see that, or he gets his piece of paper and flips his tassel and enjoy a little time of fellowship afterwards with friends and family again to celebrate Isaac's graduation. Many of you are probably headed to the same type of events, very likely today. But anyway, that's a degree from academia. But let me just say this, that there is a lot more learning to do in our lives, whether young or old. And primarily the things of God that are found in His Word. This book is going to bring you more profit than any book you'll study in school. And we ought to be in continual school, the school of the Bible, with the Lord in His Word and in His study. So no matter what age we are, we need to be a student of the Word. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." This morning I walked into the Zip Mart up at Wilton. It's the little convenience store at the edge of town. I had to go in and get a little gas and a sickle this morning. And I like their premium gas because it doesn't have alcohol in it. But every morning in that place, there's a group of 8, 10, 15 men. A lot of them are farmers. Some of them are retirees. And this morning, the Spirit led me to go back and say, "Good morning, guys. You know, you still got time to make it over to Moscow at 8 o'clock for church." And I passed out some cards. And I knew most of these guys, grew up with many of them. And I think it got some attention from them. And one of them said, "Well, there's a lot of knowledge around this table this morning." I said, "I understand that, but there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. You can cram your head full of all kinds of stuff out of the books, even the Bible. You can have all kinds of knowledge about the Bible. But if you don't have the wisdom that comes from God's Word, you're going to be hurting. We need both. We need His knowledge, but we also need the Holy Spirit imparted wisdom of the Word of God in our hearts and in our walks. So we'll see what happens. I think you might see some of those guys. It's like I told him in there, "You talk about me anyway. Now you've got a legitimate reason to think about what I brought to you today and threw on the table." You know, that's just how I operate. Anyway, what I see out there today, folks, is a bumper crop of ignorance and fools growing. You agree with me? A bumper crop of ignorance and fools growing in our midst today in all phases of life, and in particular the spiritual aspect. There's a lot of ignorance and thusly foolishness out here today. What I want to investigate briefly this morning is God's warnings to His people Israel and to all others who read this, to whom it may apply, whether it be personally or organizationally. Because I think this, not only are people messed up, but organizations that people are a part of are messed up. And that includes churches. And I go so far to say that Fruitland is even messed up. I think all churches are to a certain extent. But it's the Word of God that'll keep us from being messed up and having a foolish idea about something and doing the wrong thing. It's that serious. And because of that, I'm admitting to myself, I'm not where I should be. I'm not educated as I should be in the Word of God. And I believe I can say that today, neither are any of the rest of us that fill this room this morning. Churches also are in that position. Nations are in that position, and I believe the United States is firmly in that position today if we fail to recognize and revere what God has done in His goodness. Enough said. Nominal people, not believers, even recognize that the things of life are just not right these days. Let me say that again. Nominal people, not believers even, that are not believers, recognize that things of life are just not right these days. You agree with that? I can't tell you the people I meet that say something's going to happen. Something is way out of line today. What is wrong, Pastor John? And I tell them. These are symptoms, once again, of what? We could say the end times. We don't know exactly how that'll shake out. But the things we are seeing in our midst and in our world today are symptoms of God's blessing being removed and His judgment to come. That's what's coming, folks. They didn't believe it in Isaiah's day till it happened. They're probably not going to believe it in our day either until it's too late. Folks, yet today it is not too late. But the day is drawing near. God cannot wink at sin. He will deal with it. Anyway, people recognize this. I'm not going to go into this in depth, but things not being right. There's constant turmoil right in our streets. There's crisis that follows crisis. Weather events. All kinds of things. You name it. And here's what I conclude with all of this as I think about it. Things that should be easy today are hard. I'm finding that in my life. It is a continual, perpetual chase to continue to cross all the T's and dot all the I's to get everything done that we need to do to keep ourselves, what, legal or whatever the case may be. It's a challenge to me. And maybe that's my fault, my problem. But I hear this from a lot of other people. We're tired. We're exhausted from all this stuff that goes on. I need a break. I need refresh. Well, folks, we may not get a break, but we can get refreshed in God's Word. We can have peace, and we can know how the conclusion of all this turns out. Anyway, folks, these symptoms coincide with the removal of God's blessing and the potential for divine judgment. I think we're ripe for it. But that's God's thing. It was the sound of Hades. You can look at this as we get to it in Isaiah. You'll find it here in verse 14 of Isaiah 5. It was the sound of Hades enlarging herself. By the way, did you notice? Hades is another word for the torment side of the grave. And in the Old Testament, when Isaiah received this, it was a place of punishment for unbelievers where they went, awaiting yet a resurrection, eventually to be placed in the lake of fire. It was a place of torment. And again, we should be thinking about this morning as I preach through this. Are you hearing that sound of hell enlarging herself? By the way, she's mentioned here in Isaiah in the feminine gender. Hades, the grave. I'll let you sort that out. I have some thoughts on it. But that's what it is. I think what it is, though, folks, to give you a little clue, it's in the feminine gender. Because hell and Hades, that's talked about here, come under the persuasion of, we would call it a prostitute. It's someone that is offering, and in this case it's a woman, offering something that is illegitimate as legitimate. People are being duped into hell. There could be someone here today that's on that path. I don't know. But I believe this, that Satan and his minions are doing everything they can today to confuse people and to lead them so that the sound of hell enlarging herself will become very evident as we preach through this book. Amen? Anyway, so let's explore what God told Isaiah about Israel's plight and how that may fit in for us today. Consider it a warning from God. So here's the first point. This is found in verses 1 through 7. We'll go quickly. We may not get done today. If we don't, we'll come back when we do again. And we'll do the best we can. But here's the first point. Jot this down if you're inclined. Satanically instituted rebellion against God's goodness. Satanically instituted rebellion against God's goodness. And let me just say this before I go into the text. Where did all this start? It started in the Garden of Eden. You know what? We have things that we probably could legitimately complain about, even though the Bible says to be content with what you have, with food and raiment, let us therewith be content. God has done a pretty good job of taking care of us. No, God's done a really good job of taking care of us. You know, what the basics are there, if you don't have something to wear and something to eat, then you might have a reason to be concerned. I don't think that's the case with most people here in the United States today. They have more than they can wear, although they choose not to wear it. Did you get the pun there in some cases? And they have more than they need to eat, because most of them are... I place myself in that category as well. But folks, in the Garden of Eden, there was no reason to complain. There was no need to complain about not having what they wanted or what could be better. But Satan got in the mix and people rebelled against God. Adam and Eve. It goes right there. And that's what was happening when God charged Isaiah to go speak to Israel. So let's look at the text here this morning. But you check this out in your life, and I'll check it in mine, and you check it out with what's going on in our world. Folks, we are in the midst of a rebellion that has never ended since the Garden of Eden. People, under the behest of Satan, think that God has not done what he should have for them, and therefore they're going to rebel against what he says. But we know the effects of that are always going to be destruction. So let's look here to begin, verses 1 through 7. Of chapter 5 of the book of Isaiah. And God gives a parable of a vineyard here. He says, "Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard." God is showing here in a parable what he had created with a relationship with the nation of Israel. And it was a beautiful and a wonderful thing. And God heaped on the good stuff. Look at this in verse 2. He says, "Touching his vineyard, my beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill." You know, God had given Israel divine protection. But when they rebelled against him, they lost that divine protection by their choice. But notice in verse 2 what he did to protect Israel. "And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth..." God did everything right. God gave everything the nation of Israel needed, again, as a blessing to them. And what did they do? They rebelled. That's the significance there that's found in that text. They didn't produce the grapes that God had intended, that he had designed all these things for, but in their rebellion, they produced wild grapes. They violated the intent of God and his blessings that he had for that nation. He did everything to protect them, and yet they rebelled. God had great expectations, but again, the rebellion of his people and at Satan's behest destroyed the will that God had for that nation. And now, verse 3, "O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard." God's drawing, through Isaiah, drawing the people to think about what is going on in their nation. Where do you stand with God? And yet the people refused to listen. The bulk of the people did throughout history. That's very quotable. And eventually the Babylonian Empire came in and overran that nation, the southern tribe, the southern kingdom of Judah, and they had to learn the hard way. And even then, they didn't learn, but they were filled with rebellion. Verse 4, "What could have been done more to my vineyard?" Answer, nothing. Sometimes we wait on God to do things that he's already done. We want more. It's like our plate. We want more to eat, and our plate isn't even empty yet. God gave everything to Israel, and it still wasn't what? It wasn't enough. What about you and I today? Has God filled your plate today? I don't mean literally with food, but has he filled your plate with his goodness today? How do you handle it? Are you not satisfied with it? You know, you go right on down the line, sieve through that. As we think about our lives, my life's not right in times. in a lot of these areas. We're doing the same thing, and we've refused to learn. But folks, our rebellion against God's goodness is going to be what will destroy us. What could I have done more that I have not done? Wherefore, when I looked at that, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. God saying, what more could I do? Verse 5, and now go to or come, he's talking to Isaiah here, he says, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. By the way, how far would you go with a situation like this on your own? You know, sometimes, yes, we've got the garden in. Yes, I'm thankful I'm no longer doing the truck crops down here. I haven't missed it yet, but we still have a substantial garden at home, and it's all in finally. But you know, there have been years when the rains came, certain things happened in life, we were not able to keep it cultivated like we wanted to. And let me ask you what you would do in that situation. If the garden's in bad shape, is it easier just to plow the thing up and be done with it? Or do you go out there and try to recover it? Well, there's times that you're not in the frame of mind to recover it. And you know what? God was in that frame of mind. He said, I've done all I can do. Now there's going to be consequences. And he tells Isaiah, go tell these people what I'm going to do to the vineyard. Notice here what he says in verse 5. I will take away the hedge thereof. Now, what is a hedge? Some of you maybe have hedges around your yard. A hedge is a boundary. A hedge can also double as a fence. You can grow certain types of hedge that have thorns and so forth. It'll work as a better fence than wire fence will, or wood. Okay? Devon, has that hit a chord with you? I can't remember if you've got a hedge up at your yard there, but yeah. But the point is, fences keep things out that are bad. They keep things in that are good. But if you take down that protection, what's going to happen? It's dangerous for both sides. People will be going through it that shouldn't, through the boundaries. People will be coming back through it in the same way, across that boundary that God set. And God said, I'm taking it away, folks. I believe that's where we're at today on the basis of what Scripture says, again, that God has removed his hedge of protection, at least in part, from, I'll say it, America and most of the world, if not all the world. We are vulnerable today. We are being warned. That hedge has been taken away from people, too, when they refuse to respect what God says. Even believers are not immune from this taking place in our lives. Okay? So he says, tell them, I'm going to take the hedge away, and it shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. God says, you don't want to follow my boundaries? I'll take them down, and you'll suffer the consequences. He says in verse 6, I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looketh for, here it is, folks, take a look at this. He looked for judgment, but beheld oppression for righteousness, but behold a cry. What that means is, out of the King James, we have to sort that out just a little bit. God was looking, because of all this goodness he brought on Israel, for justice in the people, for right living. But when God saw what was going on, he saw oppression. He saw people being oppressed by satanic reasoning and a satanic attack, and the things of unrighteousness that Satan again offers and purports. And instead of a cry of righteousness, it says here in that last, it says, but behold a cry, that cry is the cry of rebellion. Folks, I offer to you this all around the world today. People are openly rebelling against the God of the Bible. They're saying his ways are wrong. They said that he has not created this world. They're devaluing the God of the Bible, or in a sense, discarding, to use another D word, the God of the Bible. I believe when God looks down on us today, and maybe he looks on hearts in this room, including mine at times, that are rebellious against him, because we do not want to do it and we do not recognize the things that he has done for us. I believe that with all my heart. We're in that type of a season. And let me just tell you this, God may choose to fix this if people change. You know, people are called by not my name will humble themselves. You know, I'm paraphrasing here, and repent, turn away from their wicked ways. I'll what? Amen. I'll heal their land. But until that happens, folks, the trajectory by the choice of people is one of destruction. There is a cry of rebellion in our world today. Okay, so that's the first point. I believe with all my heart it's going on not only in the United States, but in the whole world, a cry of open rebellion against God. Second point today, and we'll quit when it's time to quit. Is it okay if we come back next week if the Lord allows it? Well, I'm sorry, I could give you the short version, but I think you'd be getting took. There's so much to be said, you know. Well, as you study Isaiah chapter 5, there's how many woes that are found in that chapter? It's a woeful chapter. And what I'm talking about is W-O-E, not W-H-O-A. Six woes, Wilton Math. When God says woe, you better W-H-O-A and see what he's talking about. So that'll be the basis for a few of these things I want to illustrate to us from his text here this morning. So we're going to look at woe number one. This is point two of our message. And here it is, folks, and we'll see if this rings true to you today. The greed of a few that leads to economic disparity for most. If you don't believe this, I want to tell you the truth. Most young people today, like Faith, Sage, Devon, they're going to have a hard time purchasing a home. They're going to have a hard time affording a home. A lot of us don't understand what that was like. No, it's always been hard to do those kind of things, but today it is nearly impossible. Because what you've seen Satan do in our nation through the greed of people is to separate people. You have a few up here at the top, but you have more that are drifting toward the bottom. That's anti-biblical and anti-God. I don't care what it fits in with free enterprise. God's book still overrules free enterprise. We treat each other terribly because of our greed. Well, this is what God saw in Israel because of the people's rebellion against God. And I've said it many times, we're not number one, he's number one, and others are more important than we are. But we've come through a lot of years now in America where it's your number one, and let everyone else take the crumbs under the table. Greed of a few that leads to economic disparity for most, found in verses 8 through 10 here. See if this rings a bell at all. And here's the first woe. God says to Isaiah, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. What he's talking about here is the greed of people's hearts that want it all for themselves. Folks, if you look into our world today, it's really a handful of people that control a good bit of our world economically. And everyone else is subject to that. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't situations that violate what I just said, but as a whole, increasingly, a few people have most of the power in their hands of wealth, and that's a very dangerous thing. I won't quote any names, but I can give some initials. WB, BG, I can go right on down the line. That's where we're at today, folks. And it even applies locally. You know, what we used to have in the agricultural scene was a lot of people farmed 80 or 160 acres. 50 years ago and more, that was very common. And guess what? Everyone got along really well. We helped each other out. You know, we weren't prosperous, but we weren't destitute either. But today, you go out into the rural areas, there's very few farmers left that are real farmers anymore. And most of them that are still out there are basically combine and tractor drivers because their livelihood is guaranteed or subsidized by the government. Okay? So they can't fail, at least they think. But the fact of the matter is, folks, the power is being concentrated and it's being removed from small people. And that is a satanic trick to get people under the control of Satan and his ways. If you ended the farm subsidy program today, most farmers would be gone. And it's not just in the agricultural sector, it's all through our economy. The government controls things. And normal people, that used to be anyway, their ability to subsist is becoming independently is becoming very much a scarce thing in our day. You have to be big or you can't go, is what it is. It's called vertical integration. That's what was happening in Israel. God didn't like it. Notice what he says here in verse 9. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. I was told this up at Ankeny when I was going to school there. That's been 24 years ago now. But, you know, if you are familiar, Devon, you know the Des Moines, Ankeny area, everything's growing north. You wouldn't recognize the Ankeny area if you haven't been up there for 20 or 30 years, how far it's grown. But what I was told in school is there's a lot of people that own those houses, and by the way, those houses have probably doubled in price by now. They wanted the prestige of a beautiful home. When they had a gathering in their home, they went to Rent-A-Center and rented the couch, the TVs, and the stuff. But during the week, they lived on orange crates. Woodrow, have you ever heard things? I don't know if that, I think it's true here in Muscatine, too. But you know, God is trying to get the message here to the people in Israel in this same condition. He says, this isn't the way to go, folks. Your houses are going to be desolate. And I think the truth is today, and we mentioned again for younger people to get started today, it's going to take big wages to do it. And the prediction here is that God says, you know what's going to happen, folks? All your fancy stuff one day is going to be what? Desolate. Because what I hear, and I don't know if it's true, and I can put myself in this category, most people are one paycheck away from bankruptcy. Who would have ever thought it takes $60,000 to buy a car? Huh? You used to could buy a good farm for that, or less. By the way, if anyone has a $200 or $300 car, I'm still in the market for one. They get you by. He says, it's going to be desolate. Even the great and fair without inhabitant. God says this is what's happening and this is how it's going to turn out. I believe he's telling us the same thing today. Notice here in verse 10 as we get ready to conclude for this morning. He says, yea, 10 acres of a vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah. Now if you calculate this out here, what he was saying was happening in Israel is that the crops, after his blessing was removed, yielded one-tenth of what they should have. Folks, I just want to tell you how close we can be to something like that, and it's something that's made right over here. Bayer, or Bayer, however you want, it used to be Monsanto. Most of our crops that are grown today have been genetically modified, and they use Roundup to kill the weeds. You know how we used to do it in the old days? We had some chemicals, the early parts of that, but in the old days, we went out and cultivated the weeds. I used to walk beans, we raised seed beans, with a hoe taking out weeds. We were very careful of everything we did to keep the weeds out of those fields. And we didn't spread manure from different situations. You can go on and on and on. But folks, we become dependent on this ease of life, this productivity that we see. We've raised great sums of food, but folks, the resistance to these chemicals is out there. There are weeds that can no longer be controlled. If for some reason this is, and by the way, the government tried to outlaw glyphosate. They didn't get it quite done yet. They held it together for one more year. Folks, the food supply in the United States and around this world will disappear overnight. I don't know that that'll happen, but I'm saying it could potentially easily happen. And you only have a few people that are farming all the land. What if they're economically knocked out? We don't know. You know, this could come very easily, and it's God's hand of what? It's his hand of judgment, potentially, that could come upon us. We are not immune from this. But what he said in Israel, all of your endeavors are going to fail. You're going to raise a tenth of what you should have raised for your crop. That's what happens when we come under God's hand of judgment. Folks, there's a famine spiritually, and spiritual famines are followed by physical famines. Never forget today, it's by God's grace alone that we still have what we have in a relatively good life here in the United States, by God's grace. But my friends, the rich become richer, the poor become poorer, and power is concentrated in the hands of a few. It's a satanically energized formula that goes clear back to the Garden of Eden. And God will deal with it. Now, we've got to quit today. So I'm going to go to my conclusion, even though we still have 4 points left out of this text. And I'm going to conclude with this. How many of you have been around a while? You remember a guy named Ross Perot? Presidential candidate Ross Perot said it years ago in his phrase, "The great sucking sound of America being destroyed." It's not just America, it's the whole world. I'm going to get to the text about what we talked about the sound of Hades enlarging itself, which we'll get to next week. But when people are destroyed that make up a nation, the nation follows suit. Sum of the parts equals the sum of the whole. I wished I could have preached this all day, but my question for all of us was, have you heard the sound of Hades enlarging herself? When I finish preaching these points, I think there will be no one in this room that will say, "I hear it." There used to be a race car, stock car, a lineal like this, up at Wilton. He had a sticker on that car. I won't mention the name. I might personally. It said there was the devil and a pitchfork, and the caption, "Speed on, hell's only half full." Is there some relevance to that today? Because that's where the culture's at today. Speed on, hell's only half full, but friends, it's filling itself every day. God forbid there be a soul in this room that's headed for hell. God doesn't want it. I don't want it. Neither should you. Again, I mentioned to you earlier about the feminine gender on that, but Satan purports things just like a painted prostitute inviting customers for something that looks good on the surface, but is dangerous in reality. Today is a day to accept and heed the warning from God on the impending judgment on people and nations. Folks, if you don't have to believe me, you don't have to believe the Word of God, but believe the solid evidence that we'll see when this is all preached. On people and nations that forsake His goodness and mercy, won't you make a determined decision to walk with Him today and not slide into that pit of destruction? The key here, folks, is this: it's repentance. And what I mean by that, somewhere down the line, if it's going to be, we'll have to turn around. That's what repent means. That's individually or as a nation. Or the vineyard, like God said here with it, it's going to be destroyed. Not by His will, but by the will of the people. An unbeliever must repent and realize they're on the wrong path. That's the only way we can come to salvation, by trusting Jesus. Otherwise, you're convinced that you're on the right path. And for believers that are struggling today, and I'm one of those, and I believe that you are too, because of our makeup, still in the flesh, but walking hopefully in the Spirit. For believers struggling today, turn from our wicked pervasions and walk anew with the Lord in fresh pasture and under care of the Good Shepherd. Get out of the worn-out, dirty pasture and go into the pleasant land of the Lord Jesus today. 1 John 1:9 sets the stage for that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, folks, you've heard enough to start. We'll come back, Lord willing, next time. But, folks, today is a day of decision. We're either going to do one of two things. We're going to keep riding, kicking the can down the road, or we're going to turn around and walk toward Jesus. That is a decision that He leaves to you and I. He doesn't force us, but He tells us, again, what is going on, and again, how He would like to see that turn out. And that is in the way, again, pointed toward Him. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand, if you're able. 562. Billy Graham used this many times as an invitation in his crusades. But you know what, folks? Today, this is why we're here. This is called an invitational. It's a time again to come close to the Lord, to do what needs done with Him, you know, and to see a change effected, that you can leave here not worried by the burdens of this world, but under the care of the Good Shepherd in green pastures. He will give you peace. Read Psalm 23. He'll take you by the still waters. He'll restore your soul. So today, if you're not here under the care of the Good Shepherd, never trusted Him as your Savior, this is the day to do that. But also, Christians, this is the day to come clean about these things and realize these things that are taking place have a purpose. And I believe today the purpose is just like with Israel, to turn us back to God. So as the Lord leads you today in the Spirit, may this not be a day that is wasted, but a day that has drawn us closer to the Lord. Stanza one. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. We're going to sing the last stanza. Will anyone be moved today by the Spirit to move to the Lord today? Whether you come up front here publicly, if you need help, I'll help you today. Others here will as well. We're here to help one another from the Word of God. But will this be a day when you'll be moved out of the place you're in to a place higher with the Lord? Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Jesus is open on Sunday afternoons as well. As you process this today and consider where we're at, may you run to Him today. He's there in time of need. Doug Chatfield, would you dismiss us in prayer today, please?